Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
So thank you so much for joining us here with Defined by Moments, where today we're going to wrap up Proverbs chapter 1. If this is your first time with us, you know, you can still go back and listen to the others, but just go ahead and grab that Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to get to verse 20. Now, I do need to stop, and I do need to make sure that we define a term before we move any further. The first word there in verse 20 in our English translation is wisdom. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there are two words that are primarily used for wisdom. The first one, which is what we're going to see in, you know, going back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2, and a derivative of that word here in verse 20, is the Hebrew word chokmah. Now, unless you hear me say otherwise in this series, that is going to be the word that we see for wisdom. I'll point out the differences when we get there, but just make sure that you understand that. So let's talk about wisdom here. It means, when we think wisdom, we think someone that has experience, that has applied knowledge, they're well thought of. But back in the Jewish context here, wisdom meant the skill of an artisan. So think of someone that is a fine craftsman. You know, my dad and my grandfather are those that come to my mind because I have seen them produce incredible, works of art with wood, dulcimers. You know, they turned out, rolling pins. They made grandfather clocks. I mean, they just have a skill. So it's not just a knowledge of how to build, but it's also to how to apply that knowledge and then just really make it into a fine product. So it's the skill of an artisan. It's being prudent. It's dexterity. When you hear the word dexterity, you're thinking of being able to use either hand. As a basketball player back in high school, that was one of the things that my coach really hammered home for me, is that, you know, I had to be able to use either hand within 10 feet of the basket. So that is this aspect of wisdom. It is a skill. It is something that is important for us to be able to understand going into this. And the other thing that I will say here is the author really doesn't pull any punches. He goes right into the aspects that he wants to hammer home here. Look at verse 20. Wisdom, this skill, this dexterity, the ability to be able to adjust a plan as you're working through it. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So we see that there is a call that is taking place. And that is the theme of this entire section. It's the call of wisdom. So this is not that you just happen upon wisdom. This is not that, you know, wisdom is only for certain people to find. Wisdom is crying out. This is not silent existence, but is actively proclaiming the presence of wisdom, which means if we are not skilled, if we are not having, you know, using dexterity, if we are not wise, it's not because the call wasn't there. It's because we have specifically chosen to turn away from wisdom. Now that stinks, because that puts the onus back upon us. And why does that matter? Well, it goes back to that lens or the worldview with which we see everything that we learned about in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And that lens or worldview is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So notice here in this aspect of how long. Look at verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So there is not only the how long. It is asking the question of you're willingly not doing this, but how much longer is this going to persist? But wisdom also offers an if. If you turn, then you will find wisdom. Now, if you remember from a couple of episodes ago, we talked about the simple, and there was that wonderful Hebrew term about being mentally roomy. Those folks that were naive, that would just go whichever way. So we see the simple here, but we learn a new one. So it's not just the simple, it's not just the wise, it's not just the youthful, but now we have a term that is referenced here as a scoffer. Now, when we hear scoffing, we think about folks that are making a mockery of someone, you know, to jeer at them, to make comments, to really just try and put them down. All of that is true. But the amazing etymology of this word, it actually references an interpreter. So someone that is trying to make sense of what we might perceive as gibberish, but it's just simply a foreign language. You know, when I was an assistant principal, I had some students that ended up coming to my office because they said some really inappropriate things to the teacher. Well, come to find out, this student was not from this country, was learning English, and had been taught by two other kiddos that, hey, in America, we greet our teacher by saying these words, but they taught them some profane things to say to the teacher. So you had to deal with that. That is an image of scoffing. So wisdom here is crying out to the simple ones. How long are you going to continue being simple? How long are you going to love this aspect of mental roominess? When are you going to actually apply knowledge? But then they turn to the scoffers, those that are making fun of others and just saying, when are you going to quit hating knowledge? Remember what we talked about. The simple, they don't like wisdom and instruction. They don't like the application of knowledge. They don't like being corrected. They love facts. But here we see in verse 22 that the scoffers delight in that. They delight in making fun of other people, and they hate knowledge. They don't even want to accumulate facts. They just want to make fun of other people. But despite this response, we see very clearly that wisdom is continuing to cry out. So now we get into the transition point to where we get some explanation as to why wisdom is being refused. So look at verse 24. Wisdom says, because I have called out and you have refused to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. This is very clearly a refusal. What did I say at the beginning? It is a deliberate choice because the cry, the call is there. But notice what happens in verse 25. Because you have ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof. So not only is the call refused, but counsel, the advice that is offered by wisdom, is rebuked. This is not just a simple, I'm going to turn and walk away. This is a, no, you are wrong. It is a forceful reply back. But notice what continues in verse 26 and 27. Wisdom says, because my call has been refused, because the counsel has been rebuked, look at verse 26, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind when distress and anguish come upon you. So the consequence here is that calamity reigns. It's disaster. You know, if you stop and think about it, this kind of seems harsh. But quite frankly, we all know people that when presented with the right way to do things, just because it wasn't their idea, they say no and they go their own way. You know, this aspect of, in the verse here of where wisdom is saying that, you know, it will laugh at the calamity, it will mock when terror strikes you. You know, we see that as awful, but really it's more of an I told you so. So all of my kids, all of my little ones would stand there at the stove and we would tell them, don't touch this, this is hot. But how did they learn? They had to put that hand up there and go through the pain. You know, we loved them, we hugged them, we immediately applied burn cream, we did everything. You know what? They didn't do that again. It was a deliberate refusal to listen to the cry and the call of wisdom. And because of that, a disaster occurred. Calamity reigned. You know, that is one of the things that we often miss, is far too often when things don't go our way, we blame others instead of looking in the mirror and truly evaluating the choices that we made to do things that were unwise. So we see the call refused. We see counsel rebuked. We see that calamity reigns. Look at verse 28. This continues. It says, "Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me." If we thought that the laughter of wisdom at their choices earlier with calamity reigning was awful, this is what would push some people over the edge. How could this be? This is impossible. This is not right. Well, stop and think about it. Sometimes it is absolutely too late to undo what has been done. Think in our modern world. You know, one of the things that you know, I train people to do all the time is, before you hit send on that email, really stop and think, do you need to send it? Yes, there is a recall feature, but that's only if that person hasn't opened it, because once you hit send, it's gone. And there are far too many people in this world today that have sent emails that have come back to regret them because they didn't pause. Let me give you an example. So think of you know, your kid as they're just learning to drive. They come up to a red light and they blow right through it. I mean, they could be in an accident, or they could get pulled over by, you know, the police and would write them a ticket for blowing through that red light. And you know what? That teenager of yours could sit there and go, you know what, red light? That means stop. I'm going to stop from this point forward. That's great. That's a lesson learned. But that does not undo the cost that has come to them. That's what's taking place here. The cry is right, but it's come too late. Then verses 29 and 30. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof." They chose wrong. Wisdom cried. They chose otherwise. Far too often in our own lives, we do the same thing. We know what the right thing to do is, but we choose to do wrong. Notice what happens in verse 31. "Therefore, because of that wrong choice, they shall eat the fruit of their way. They shall have the fill of their own desires." Guess what? If you choose to refuse wisdom, then you choose to embrace the mess that follows. Going back to that example that I mentioned of my little ones that would touch those things that were hot that we told them not to. They chose deliberately to reject my experience and my wisdom as a dad. So they chose the mess that followed. I have a colleague of mine that shared this quote with me, and I absolutely love it, and it fits this passage perfectly. "If you are not changing it, then you're choosing it." We have wisdom in God's Word that we could read every single day. We know how we should live our lives. So if we are not changing our lives to reflect what we see in God's Word, then guess what? We're choosing that choice. We are choosing the outcome that will be the end result. If we are not choosing to do something differently, if we're not changing to match our life accordingly, then we'll suffer. That's the cry. That's the call of wisdom, if we are willing to listen. As this chapter comes to a conclusion, verse 32 says, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroy them." This is amazing. Turning away here is where we often find our word apostasy. It's backsliding. It's being faithless. It's, I know to go there, but I'm choosing to go here. Best example in all of the Old Testament is Jonah. The Lord called Jonah to go to Nineveh. And what did he do? He got in a boat and he went the other way. That is this image. The simple, those that are mentally roomy, those that are naive, they are now moving to the point where they are deliberately choosing to go a different direction. But this aspect of complacency that is referenced here in the last part of verse 32 It's ease. It's prosperity. It's false security. And you're thinking, well, that's kind of a weird Hebrew term to translate here as complacency. Oh, no, it is not. Because when does complacency arise? It comes when we get conveniences. It comes when we become comfortable. If we are more focused on ease, if we are more focused on pleasure, then we are going to resist the call and the cry of wisdom. And this chapter sums it all up. The result of wisdom is in verse 32, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Now notice that. If we listen to wisdom, we gain security. If we listen to wisdom, we will have ease because we're not going to be creating mess that we could have prevented if we had listened to wisdom. And we are not going to fear the dread of disaster, calamity that is brought on by our own choices. So the call exists. The question is, are you listening? You see, when we think about wisdom and we look at it from this passage, you could literally go through and look at every time that wisdom is used in the book of Proverbs, and you'll come up with somewhere between, you know, between 28 and I think 37 different, what you could say, one phrase statements of wisdom. Here in this passage, we see that wisdom is there, if you want it. You see that wisdom here is knowing more than just facts. We learn that the important part here is that wisdom is life in action. It's that aspect of that artisan. I have the knowledge, I'm applying the knowledge, and I'm using the knowledge. But also we see here that wisdom is a deeper relationship with the God of all. And that comes in verse 30. Why? Why did they hate knowledge? Because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. So there are three major takeaways for us here. Wisdom is waiting. If you want it, we see very clearly that wisdom is crying in the streets, that is vocalizing its presence. But the choice is whether we will listen to it or not. Secondly, we see that foolishness trends because of abundance and prosperity. So when we have prosperity, when we have abundance, when we are getting comfortable, that is when our foolishness will tend to arise. Those are the moments that we need to be on our most guard. Why? Why would Solomon say that? Why would he personify wisdom as crying out and then come to that? Well, think of the history of the nation of Israel. God led them out of Exodus. God freed them. God provided food for them. What did they do? They continually complained and grumbled and were frustrated, and they were saying, we need to go back to Egypt. My friends, we do the same thing. When we get comfortable, crisis is around the corner. So number one, wisdom is waiting if you want it. Foolish tends to arise due to abundance or prosperity. And then number three, this is a lifelong and intentional pursuit. You are never going to arise at one point when you can go, oop, I'm wise. I've got it. That'll never happen. This is a lifelong pursuit. You will need to continually choose every single day to listen to the cry of wisdom and to apply that into your life. If you do that, it's why is that happening? It's because you have the lens or the worldview that Solomon has laid out as his thesis. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My question to you is simple. Are you listening to wisdom? If you're not, why not? What is the thing that is holding you back from a life, as described in verse 32, of security, ease, in no fear of disaster of your own making? Choose to listen to wisdom. Choose the lens and the worldview that Solomon says is critical to begin the process of acquiring knowledge, to applying that knowledge so that you have wisdom, and then correcting when you have incorrectly moved forward. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care.